From BBC Radio 4, this is IPM. I'm Jennifer Tracy, here with Eddie Mair.
Hello.
Listeners write to us about things that matter to them, and we make a show about the experiences they've had and the views they want to share.
We worked closely together for the past 66 years, but the time has come to go our separate ways.
The words of David, one of our listeners who sent us an email with the subject line.
I said goodbye to my prostate last Wednesday.
I was getting up a few times in the night, and I thought it needed checking. So basically, it's done digitally. It puts a finger at your back end to start with.
Well, digital's very hip at the moment, isn't it? Everyone's going digital.
It is, yeah. Mm. That's right. So, I mean, he's sort of feeling whether a prostate's enlarged or is it lumpy.
They found his prostate to be a bit enlarged, so put him through a number of other tests. His doctor diagnosed him with cancer in November.
Now, obviously, you hear the word cancer, and you think death sentence, really.
Are you and your wife holding hands at this point, by the way?
I think we were, yes. Mm. Yes, I think we were.
A little squeeze.
We were listening to it, yeah. And so we heard that, and he went on to talk about the treatment. Now, what he said at that point was, which we found very encouraging, he said, this is curable.
After being presented with a number of treatment options, he and his wife decided to have the prostate taken out in an operation. One of the side effects of prostate cancer treatment is erectile dysfunction.
It is a difficult issue, isn't it? Because part of your identity as a male is, you know, being able to father children, I don't know, potency, whatever. Mm. And obviously, when your prostate's gone, you can't do that anymore. But, you know, I'm 66, so I'm not really bothered about that. That doesn't worry me. But
you still want to have sex, for God's sake.
Oh, yes, that? Yes, that still happens. So what we will be working on is to try and get things working again.
Well, do you mind if I ask, and this is obviously all very personal, so...
Go on, then.
You tell me to get lost if I'm becoming too personal. I can barely think of a more personal question to ask someone, but I'm just going to ask you. Can you get an erection?
No, not yet. I will do.
And how are you going to be able to manage that? What do they do?
Right,
what do you
okay.
do?
Right. What happens is you're given... the way that they do it, they give you a tablet which is... It's like a version of Viagra, and that is to maintain the blood flow through your penis. Now, what happens normally, you would naturally get 3 or 4 erections in your sleep, anyone does. Mm. It's sort of almost like exercising and keeping things working. Now, because I've had a catheter in for 2 weeks, I've had this operation, they've... shorten things because they've reattached the tube to make it shorter. Because of that, at the moment that bit doesn't work. But I have to say that I have I think some of the nerves are working because I have felt stirrings. I'll put it that much that far, because it's I think the thing is the nerves get bruised, don't they? And those nerves will sort of repair. Mm. I mean, you can't have nerves. Nerves can't regenerate. You can't have nerves where you haven't got nerves. But those nerves over time will repair. And I know that the medication that you give allows blood flow through the sort of like the erectile tissue.
The fact that nerve saving was done.
Yes.
Does that mean that the stirrings will get better and it will continue to improve for you?
Potentially, yes, they should do.
And you've spoken a bit about how this has made you feel as a man. You've,
yes.
You've mentioned your wife. I wonder, what has it done for the closeness of your relationship? Because as you've suggested, she's been there with you every step of the way.
She has.
And you've been, this has been very much part of the conversation.
What we've experienced actually has made us a lot closer, because she's done so many things to help me and to support me. And, you know, I'm a sort of person normally who likes to do everything himself. And, you know, I've just sort of realised that, you know, you can't always do that. And she's been there to, you know, help with all the things that need doing and also provide all the support and all the love.
Our listener, David.
45,000 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer in the UK every year. Around 10,000 die each year. Angela Culhane from Prostate Cancer UK has advice on how to spot it.
Early stage prostate cancer often has no symptoms. Where you might get symptoms is if you start to notice changes in urinary function, going to the loo more often, perhaps getting up more at night, or other problems to do with your waterworks. Now, if that does happen to you, what you should do is go and speak to your GP. Now, we don't recommend that everybody goes because many people wouldn't need one. However, if you are in a higher risk group, so if you're aged over 50, if you have a family history of prostate cancer, that's your father or a brother, for example, who's had it, or if you're black, that puts you in a higher risk group. So it's 1 in 8 men get prostate cancer across the whole population, but for black men, it's actually 1 in 4. What you should do is go and speak to your GP about whether you should have a PSA test or not, and that's a simple blood test.
Survival rates are high for this type of cancer. There are 3 main forms of treatment.
What happens for a lot of men, particularly at early stage of a diagnosis, is that they will be put onto hormone therapy. The common side effects include hot flushes, tiredness, weight gain and mood swings, which would be similar to what a woman would experience in the menopause. But there is also the additional side effect of erectile dysfunction. Some men, like David, will choose to have prostatectomy, so that's having the whole prostate removed. So typically about 10 to 12% of men will choose that treatment. The side effects of prostatectomy can include erectile dysfunction, so that's sexual impotence, and also incontinence. Another treatment option is radiotherapy, which comes with similar side effects to prostatectomy.
3/4 of men who have been treated with prostate cancer experience erectile dysfunction, although many will recover from that. There's a variety of treatments available, from tablets to injections, vacuum pumps to implants. If you would like details of organisations which offer advice and support with any type of cancer, including prostate, go online to bbc.co.uk/actionline or call the BBC Action Line to hear recorded information on 08000 560 190. That's 08000 560 190. Lines are open 24 hours and calls are free from landlines and mobiles. But let's give the last word to David.
What I'd say to anyone is, please don't be embarrassed about the process and don't be frightened about finding out the outcome, because the thing about prostate cancer is it's eminently treatable. It's slow growing, and if it's caught at an early stage, it can be so readily treated.
Recently on IPM, we spoke about coercive control within relationships, the sort of behaviour that stops short of physical violence but still amounts to extreme psychological and emotional abuse. We heard the words of one listener who recognised aspects of another relationship he saw playing out on a soap opera.
I mean, the fact that he was being quite insidious, she hadn't realised how controlling he was being of her, because it was done in such a subtle way. And he did it very cleverly, so it almost felt like it was a caring thing that he was doing, that he was looking out for her. But in actual fact, it was sort of controlling her behaviour, and it sort of rang true for a relationship that I'd had in the past.
Several listeners wrote to say that interview reminded them of their own experiences.
I was married to one such man for 5 years. I'm a strong woman and was slowly and systematically ground to a pulp by this man. Not physically, but verbally. Suffice to say, I lost weight, could not eat, maintained a job teaching, but with some stress as he controlled my life. I became fragile. It was not until I went away on a 4-day trip with other teachers and realised that I never laughed anymore that I saw the light. He would not hear of me leaving him, would not even discuss it, so I had counselling. It was only then that I realised that others suffered the same fate, and there were even books written about it. That was 12 years ago. I've never met him again. Why do we let this happen? I'm now very happily married, and I'm back to my old self, and my husband cannot understand that I was ever trodden down.
Oh, and she adds at the end,
by the way, I'm a fan of podcasts now that I know what they are, and also go to sleep with them, playing in my ears during the night. We'll try Trollope next.
Another listener says the interview took him back to his first marriage. He says he experienced isolation from family and friends and was regularly reminded that he could never be a good enough husband, father, partner and lover.
I was also told that if we ever split up, you will never see your children again. A promise that my wife was able to deliver upon us thus far. 15 years later, the only love and support I give to my children now is through the maintenance payments that I continue to make. I did at one stage very much love my wife. My isolation meant that I felt I had no one to discuss my situation with, and further eroded my ability to protect myself from the abuse that I guess I always knew I was suffering from. I'm now happily married to an extraordinary woman.
Talking of extraordinary women, reading our listeners' sentences of news this week is the BBC's diplomatic correspondent, Bridget Kendall. It was announced that she's leaving the BBC after more than 30 years, moving to a new job in the summer. Here she is with your news.
I've just completed the most liberating house declutter. My granddaughter had her small tub of homemade chutney confiscated as a security risk. My husband wants to dress up as a woman to be in touch with his exuberant and creative side. I said goodbye to my small red Nissan Micra, which has failed its MOT for the first time in 20 years. Spent an hour repairing holes in my lawn after an overnight visit from some feral animal. Aged 77, I'm thinking about fitting a small motor to my skateboard. I told the young lad at the supermarket checkout I've been retired since 1988, and he said, "Wow, that's before I was born." Lost my voice 10 days ago, and I've never felt more lonely. My 100-year-old mother phoned me on her mobile phone. I got my first speeding ticket, aged 58.
Your news with Bridget Kendall. If you'd like to send us a sentence of news about your week, you can email us anytime, ipm@bbc.co.uk.
IPM is a radio programme and a podcast. Many listeners, like Anna Adsetz, love their podcasts.
It's like having a bunch of emails from friends, or like when you used to get letters in the post. I have this thing where they download into my phone and I get to look and think, oh, gosh, you're waiting for me to... You know, I don't even look at what it's about. I just think, oh, brilliant, I know it's Monday and I know you're there and I can come to you at some point.
So we made an IPM all about how to listen to podcasts, which inspired Margaret Wilde.
Yippee! She went uppercase there. I've just done my ironing, listening to a podcast. Thank you.
Excellent. Moira Hogg had got as far as...
downloading Stitcher onto my tablet, and your programme was just where I needed to go one step further and actually subscribe to a few programmes. I now have IPM, Friday Night Comedy and Serial.
Good start. Alongside newbies, we've had recommendations from listeners who, in the words of Callan McGill...
have trawled through the dark and unruly world of podcasts.
Where have you been, Callan? But we're glad he wrote to share his favourites. His list is long. Here's just a handful of the podcasts he likes, accompanied by his pithy description.
The Financial Times' Listen to Lucy, a hysterical 5-minute dissection of waffle from business people.
Entitled Opinions, an interview show by a Dante scholar at Stanford with extended monologues, not for the faint of heart.
The BBC's More or Less, a fact-checking show for and by nerds.
Who are you calling nerds? We'll put the links to all of the podcasts on our Twitter feed, BBC IPM. And if you're pod curious, we have the details on our website to help you get started. The first thing you'll need to do is install an app on your phone or tablet.
Just search for podcast apps. There are many different kinds. Choose the one you prefer and download it. You only have to do that once. And then the app becomes your window on the world of podcasts.
And then you just look for stuff that interests you. Find something you like and subscribe. By clicking subscribe, it means that each new edition of a programme will download to your app without you having to do anything. Don't be put off by the word subscribe. It won't cost you anything.
We showed a listener who'd never podcast before how to do it. Find, install, subscribe. It took him less than 5 minutes. Why not give it a whirl and let us know how you get on? ipm@bbc.co.uk. And this is the bit. If you're podcasting for the very first time, this is a little extra bit that Radio 4 listeners don't get to hear. Oh, what they're missing.
What they're missing. Well, we've had lots of recommendations that have come in. And we're going to talk about some of those in this little podcast bit at the end of the podcast. But first, I wanted to mention, if you're looking for BBC podcasts, and we had lots of emails asking us where the best place to go to find them. And I just wanted to let you know about the webpage that has brought them all together, which is bbc.co.uk/podcasts. It's run by a producer here at the BBC called Tom Bedwell. And basically, on the site, you can search
for the podcast that you would like. You can search by name, you can search by the station, by the genre, or you can put in the subject like nature, education, philosophy, various different podcasts will come up. The BBC makes over 400, so it's quite an overwhelming page at times. But there's a lot to look through, and it's a really good place to start if you want to start subscribing.
bbc.co.uk/podcasts.
That's it.
What else should we talk about?
Let's leave it there.